In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But
if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with our gradual for this Easter season. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have
mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. And peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for today, this second Sunday of Easter, comes from the book of Acts in the fifth chapter. an amazing text about the suffering of the disciples and their persecution, but also, like we said last Sunday, about how unstoppable our Lord is. We begin in verse 12 of Acts 5. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest there joined them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. And when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the Senate of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with our epistle lesson from the book of Revelation in the first chapter. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, "Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with him. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here, see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our sermon hymn for this second Sunday of Easter, hymn 474, Alleluia, Jesus is risen. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, they always say hindsight 2020. I think everybody knows what they mean by that, right? Or what that saying means. It means that when you look back on an event or a circumstance, you can often see more clearly what was going on. More clearly, even for us as believers this morning, how God was at work in those experiences, be they often even challenging experiences, sometimes even very hard to go through kind of experiences. But somehow, hindsight's always 20/20 in the sense that we gain some perspective from a look back later. What if God wanted to give us just a piece of that kind of vision or that kind of 20/20 look, so to speak? But what if he wanted us to have it all the time? What if he wanted us to live with it as our eyes? That kind of perspective, I mean, the one that we often gain in the look back or as time passes. What if he would give it to us even in the midst of a challenge or a joy, or even as we begin to face one? I think it's amazing to say that our gospel reading this morning, and Jesus showing up and saying, "Peace be with you." In an amazing way, that's exactly what he's doing. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And yet we're very good walking by sight. Walking by faith feels a bit foreign to us in our daily lives. But walking by faith, having that kind of perspective, that kind of vision, that sort of clear 20/20 faith lens, I think Jesus is giving it to us this morning in some ways in our gospel reading. Did you see, did you hear Jesus coming to his disciples with these words, "Peace be with you"? And we wonder when we read through this text why Jesus shows up saying that. What's he saying? What's he doing with his boys to show up and say, "Peace with you"? Well, some people posit that what Jesus is doing is calming their fears, right? Because it's often easy to sort of take the real life out of this text. See, these guys had just watched Jesus be brutally crucified and murdered. They had to stand there and see the horror of it. They had to hear Jesus bleeding and dying on the cross say to John, "Behold your mother, and mother, behold your son." And this was horrific. The trauma, as we put it today, that these men would have dealt with is unthinkable. The way their brains must have been spinning and how they must have been questioning all of their reality. That's what those kinds of traumatic experiences do to people. The way that they're probably so internally focused after this that they can barely even recognize each other in the same room. That's often what trauma does, what grief brings, an intense self-focus that confuses us. So Jesus shows up. He shows up with these words, "Peace be with you." And it's more than once in our text that he says this. His peace he gives. And then he does something else that's really interesting. If we look in the text, he actually shows not just Thomas. Thomas usually gets all the airtime here on this Sunday. But it's not just Thomas. It's also the other disciples that he shows his wounds, right? His hands and his side. He shows his pain to them. And I don't think that's totally by accident or just something to only have the goal of them believing. Of course, that is the ultimate goal. But I also think Jesus is coming to people who are suffering from that trauma. Because you and I both know that if we've gone through something tough in our lives, if somebody comes to us and tries to help us who hasn't been through what we've been through, it's kind of hard to listen. But if someone comes to us who suffered what we suffered, oh my, how powerful that peace can be that they bring. Jesus is doing that in this text as well. He's empathizing on a divine level. He's saying, look, I suffered it too. In fact, he took the brunt of it, didn't he? That trauma. And so he shows them his suffering. And the disciples are glad when they see the Lord. And that makes sense to us. He comes to calm their fears. In fact, he's come today to us, according to his promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. He's come to us to do the same thing, to calm your fears and mine, to say peace to you when we'd stopped believing in that kind of peace because of the stuff that's going on. Peace be with you. He says to you and to I today. He calms our fears. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us he actually does empathize with you too. That we do not have a high priest who's not been tempted in every way as we are tempted. He knows. He understands. This peace is not coming to us this morning from somebody who doesn't get it. To somebody who hasn't been through what you're going through. And what I'm going through, whatever that may be. Now, this is a powerful piece from somebody who understands completely and empathizes completely. He gives us his peace. That's an interesting thing to recognize about peace. And so I want to ask you this morning, what is peace like for you? What does it look like? So I think the funnest way to do this is to picture your mental meme when you think about peace. What's your mental meme? Is it like a mountain, serene mountain view with some maybe wildflowers at the base and a river flowing, and on the meme it says peace, and you think, oh, that's peaceful. I love it. Look at that mountain. It's so beautiful. Or maybe it's your rear end in some warm sand on a tropical beach, and the waves are crashing and the palm trees are saying, you say, oh, this is peace. This is peace for me. Maybe it's just paying all your bills this month. That feels like peace. What's your meme, you know? Your peace meme. Maybe it's having a week that doesn't have some big dramatic problem in it. And you think, oh, that'd be awesome. I could use some peace like that. Or maybe it's getting over an illness or finally being free from a disease. And you think, that's my meme. That's peace when this is gone, this thorn in my flesh. Notice something about our understanding of peace this morning. Our understanding is always terribly circumstantial. For us to feel at peace depends on our circumstances. The peace that our Lord gives us today, even today, on this Sunday after Easter, just like the last time that we read about, or the first time, I should say, not the last, that he gave this kind of peace on Sunday after Easter. His peace is not dependent on circumstance. like our understanding of peace is. His peace, he says it in John chapter 14. He says, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave you, not as the world gives do I give to you. See, Jesus' peace is different than ours in that sense, that the peace he offers is solid. It's never changing. It's always there. Its source is in him, not in circumstance. And this is like a bit of a disease of our own, that when we need peace, we go out looking for it in situational circumstances. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear it today. It's not there because it doesn't source in those circumstances. It's got to come from somewhere else. And if you've been on this earth very long, I bet you've already figured that out, right? That those little moments of peace, like the memes, those are like little motels that we only get to stay in for a minute, and then we gotta leave. That's not how our Lord's peace is. No, it's the whole heavenly house. It's all things in all creation. And you say, well, how can I have this peace that you're talking about? I want it. How do I get it? Well, that's the thing. You don't get to go find it. You don't get to go get it. You don't have to go get it. It doesn't work like all the marketing that we listen to every day. He's giving it to you right now. Peace be with you, he says. And from his words does the peace come. And how can we have it? How can we understand it? Well, listen to this. Paul says this in Romans 5, verse 1. Since we've been justified by faith, he says, we now have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Since we've been justified by faith, in other words, since we've been saved by something that we didn't do, but something that was done for us, now we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, Jesus' cross and resurrection, those gave us peace with God. His work, his action, not ours. And when we have peace with God, see it, when we have peace with God, because we so often disconnect God from reality, from the physical material world, and we think that somehow there's a disconnect. Brothers and sisters, there's not a disconnect. If we have peace with God, which the text says you do, based on Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, if we have peace with God, then we have peace with everything God made. And every circumstance that God allows. That's what it means to have peace with God. It's not just some transient idea that we can never actually deal with in the physical world. When the text says, since we've been justified by faith, we now have peace with God, that means we have peace with everything constantly. And this is the 2020 vision. This is the hindsight that you get right now, that in every circumstance and in every situation and everything, every physical thing, every created thing, every person, when we see those, if we're at peace with God, we're at peace with those things too. This is clear walking by faith. If we're at odds with God, then there'll be no peace for us, because all those things we will also be at odds with. Everything he made. And every circumstance that happens. And everything that takes place. So peace with God's a really big deal. Peace with God is peace with everything. And is this not what the scriptures say? In the book of Romans, doesn't it tell us quite clearly that all things, not some things, but all things work to the good of those who believe and are called according to his purpose. Jesus says peace to you, and he really means it. And so we can look at everything differently. We can look at every situation differently. And instead of being afraid and acting like there's no peace, now with every single situation we encounter, we can say, what's God doing in this? How's he bringing me peace according to his promise from this? Maybe we don't know this side of heaven with some of the things that happen, but we can guarantee that on that side we'll know and we'll see exactly and clearly what he's been doing. But even now, by his words, peace be with you, he opens our eyes of faith and lets us see clearly that he's at work in this world, that he's in control of this world, that we're safe, and that like Revelation said, he is the Alpha and the Omega, and he holds the keys of death. And he loves you, and he forgives you, and he leads you, and he guides you, and he gives you peace with it all. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that is life in the Spirit. That is life in the forgiveness of sins. That is life forever and ever that goes on into the ages, Ionia to Ionia, and ages, and will never, ever end. It changes the way we see the world and opens our eyes to the blessed things that God has done. So don't fear. You're at peace with all these things through Jesus Christ your Lord, in his name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, amen. We now come to the time in our service where we confess our faith together. We invite the congregation to please stand and confess together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for prayer. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Glorious Lord, you have worked the salvation of the world through the death and resurrection of your Son. You've given us peace to trust in you in all situations. Now give us strength. And let our hearts and our mouths be filled with joy and praise at the wondrous things you give us. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to die for our sins and to rise for our justification. By his holy wounds, bless us with the forgiveness of sins and bless those sent to serve in your name, that your church would be built up in our time and in the ages to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, remember those who have wandered from the household of faith. Be faithful to them always, faithful to your promises as we know you are, and work all things in the lives of those who've wandered to remind them of their need for you and your unending grace and your steadfast love, that they might return to the faith and delight in your Son crucified and raised for them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, you sent your angel to free the apostles from prison, that they would speak of the life of Christ. Send your holy angels to minister to those imprisoned on account of the testimony of Jesus, and embolden your church to give a faithful and loving witness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray you to lead and guide our president, our Congress, our governor, the legislature of our state, and all who make and administer and judge our laws. Protect and defend those within our community who enforce the rule of law or respond in emergency and disaster, and guard our liberty here and abroad. Lord, in your mercy. O great physician, even the shadow of your apostles brought healing to the afflicted people of Jerusalem. As we rest under the shadow of your wings, we pray you heal your afflicted servants, and we especially name before you this morning Greg Gonzalez and family, the family of Jeff Gilmore, Jeff Autopolic, Adam and Andrea, Sandy Cody, the family of Bob Phillips, Larry Reinberger, Susan St. Cyr, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, that they would rejoice in your steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Holy Father, your Son greets his disciples with peace, despite their sins against him. Make us confident in his mercy toward us and glad in our hearts as he comes to us in his body and blood with his forgiveness and renewal. Lord, in your mercy. Alpha and Omega, Almighty God, who was and is to come, with you all the souls of the faithful rest in safety and in the assurance of resurrection. Make safe our way to join them, and bring us with John and all the saints into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to the time in our service for our offering this morning. As our offerings are collected, our organist will play us an instrumental piece, and then once the offerings are collected and the ushers at the back, we invite the congregation to stand at that time and sing the offertory as the gifts are brought forward to the altar. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio, we thank you for tuning in this morning. I wish you the Lord's peace throughout your week. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we're on page 11 in the bulletin for our service of the Holy Sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. God, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into the heavens, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa.